received an apology from the minister for this meeting. Is there any other apologies? Any other?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. There are four people that should have been part of the delegation, that is the respective DDGs. DDG Binyukong Kubeni was with Minister that were doing oversight in Durban, one of the sites that will be implementing the broadband for NHI. He was scheduled to fly in the morning. I'm told that his flight was diverted from Durban to George because of the weather conditions. So I think he's still in George, so I'm not sure what time he'll end up being here. And then there's also acting DDG Nkubela, who is supporting the minister. We have an agenda item with the cabinet this morning. So she's standing by cabinet meetings so that she can support the minister. But as soon as she does, she will join us. There's another DDG Pili. He's supposed to be here. I think he's still on his way. He should join us shortly. Actually, see, I think we are a full team other than the ones that I've spoken to. Oh, my apologies, I'm to another chairperson. There's also DDG Sponile Makofi, who is currently on study leave. And then there's someone on this place today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Labaskakhni has got an appointment with the chairperson of the NCFP. So we're not sure how long that will take.
Thank you. Any others?
Yes, Chairperson. Oh, when I was on my way, I received a call from DMPA. There were some changes. It's not going to come in. It's a short time.
Those are the apologies. We do have the agenda in front of us. Can we adopt the agenda? Can I get the mover? So the question of the adoption of the agenda.
No, I just wanted to first just speak on the apologies so that there's some consistency, so that the other departments don't think that we're picking on them and we're not raising the same issues that we raise in other departments. On the issue of apologies, I understand the one of the minister, because there's a cabinet meeting today on Wednesdays. But at least there should be attendance by the deputy minister. What we raise with other departments is that when it comes to the strategic plans and ATPs, those are the documents that are signed off by the ministers and the deputy minister. And also with regard to the annual reports, you normally have on those documents the foreword of the ministry, that will say ministry to include the deputy minister. Now, when we ask questions as members, we ask questions on the whole document from front to back, including the foreword. Now, if you don't have a minister or deputy minister, who's going to respond on the foreword, because it's written by the minister and the statement by the. So that's why at least those two documents or three documents, we need the ministry to be present. It's fine maybe during the course of the term if we could invite the department to brief us on some of its programs. We want to know about Telkom, want to know about Centen, but then the DG can come and brief us on those. But just these three documents are very important, that owners of those documents must be present. The same thing that we raised with the other departments in the select committee yesterday, and I feel that we should raise it also for this department as well. So if the DG could convey that message to the minister and his deputy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this input. Like the honorable member was saying, it is a concern. Political routine will be discussed as well. It will be taken up today. But nevertheless, thank you, honorable
appoint to the members. This meeting started 10, scheduled for 10 to 1. So we would like to appeal also to the members to remain for the duration of the meeting. There's been an embarrassment in other meetings where members just leave. They are only left with their departments. The last meeting that we had as a committee, it was only the chairperson and myself. I know there are rumblings as I'm speaking now. But we want to request that members should remain for the duration of the meeting and that they should not commit themselves to other meetings. Those other meetings will be after one. I'm saying this as a whip of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Is there any adoption, proposal for the adoption of the program? Is there a proposal? Thank you. Can we proceed with our meeting? I'm Ellen Prince. I'm going to introduce myself. I know by now some faces, but we must proceed with the good session by introduction. I'm Evan Prince, I'm the chairperson of this committee. Honorable members, can you introduce yourself?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mandla Isaac Khai, a member of the Select Committee, Communication and Public Enterprise from the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Omi Singh, member of this committee from the province of KwaZulu-Natal.
Philippines Falco is my name, from Northwest, the province of Moses Kotani. Thank you.
My name is Calvary, I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Bridget Masamba. I represent Kaufing and a member of the committee.
Good morning, Bayer Smith, representing Lampapa.
Sanbona, Ikama, Umosa, and Koso, and Lambo. Iloma, the committee, Buddha, I hope.
My name is Howard Nagel, I'm from PNG.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Sam Villa, DBG Administration in the department.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Vralim Tembo, Minister of PFO.
I'm on Chairperson and members. My name is Sarah Piri, DBG for ICT Policy and Strategy.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. I'm Chief Dipalai, Chief Director HR in the department.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Mamisen Pashele. I am the Acting DG for Information Society Development and Research.
Good morning. My name is Farhad Osman, Chief Director of Strategic Planning and Monitoring.
Good morning, Members, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'm Rosie Sanchez, the DG, Department of Telecommunication Postal Services. Honourable Chairperson, earlier on when I was doing apologies, I'd done an apology for the DG to the Rizonite, and he's here. I just wanted to clarify that he's here.
Thank you very much.
Is there
any others?
Good morning, Chairperson and our members. My name is Michael Nchimila, Chief Director, SOED, Sovereign Life.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Aaron Foscati. I'm the Career Advisor for the committee.
Lori, you're just in time to come and introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Loli Sibis. I am the committee secretary.
Thank you. Those are Amanda.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amanda Benjamin, the committee assistant.
Thank you. Those are the people you're sitting around the table, and we are going to give over to you the for your presentation. I know that you are starting a new space tonight. I think you feel very good to come and present your plan to us. And we look forward, and we are going to monitor you right here to see how are you going to overcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. If I can just take you through the presentation, which is a summary of the strategic plan and the APP. But I see that members have got copies of both the strategic plan and the APP, so we'll still be able to take questions that are not necessarily in the presentation, but in the two official documents. Now, just taking to you to slide number 2, which is an overview of the presentation. We'll start first with the strategic priorities, that is for the 2015-2016, and then go through the financial information, that is the budget of the department, including the entities. Annexure A of the presentation is the alignment of the department's priorities with the medium-term strategic framework, the national development plan, and the State of the Nation address that was delivered by Honorable President Jacob Zuma. Moving on to slide number 3. Now, just a high level of how we went through the strategic priorities. The strategic priorities that are captured in the strategic plan in the APP are based on the alignment with the National Development Plan, the medium-term strategic framework, and the State of the Nation address, and in line with available resources. The following have been identified within the annual performance plan as the strategic priorities that have got the highest impact. The first one, which is preoccupying most of the time of both from the department, that is all individual branches, is with regard to broadband, but we'll go into the details when we talk about each strategic priority. Critical for broadband deliverable would be not only the implementation of broadband, but releasing the necessary high demand radio frequency spectrum that is required, but ensuring that the use of broadband as users access the internet or those broadband services, that the network is secure, which is a cyber security. We would then talk about the cost to communicate, which is ensuring that these services are affordable. And the next key priority is the ICT policy review, followed by the national strategy. Honorable Chairperson, you recall last year when we were here, we presented some of the challenges that we have been facing with regard to the sample. And we know that Chairperson, you've also invited the South African Post Office, I think it's on the 25th or 26th of May, so we'll be coming back to present the South African Post Office turnaround, which is a key issue for us. And then the post-bank corporatization and the program of action for the postal sector. The slides that are going to follow will then be detailing the above-mentioned strategic priorities coupled with an analysis of the environment. However, as I said, Honorable President, the complete schedule of the strategic goals, objectives, and the 2015-2016 targets are found in the 2015-2019 strategic plan and the 2015-2016 annual performance plan. Moving on to slide number 3 with regard to broadband. The uptake of broadband has been slow. I think this is something that is publicly known. There has been no strategic usage of broadband to resolve the pressing societal problem. The estimated broadband penetration stands at around 70%, with internet that stands around 48% by 2014. The current market structure is inefficient, costly, and duplicate infrastructure in urban areas. However, the main concern that we have is the need to ensure that there is infrastructure of broadband rollout, especially in the rural areas and underserved areas. There is also a slow prioritization and therefore a slow migration to e-government services. Hence why as government, while there is investment in ICT, but we are not seeing the benefit, especially from a service delivery point of view. as a result, you find that we are still very much paper-based system and that are not citizen-friendly and hampers service delivery. There is no shifting of resources to modernize government service delivery. With all the limitations of state resources, we have state entities with duplicate mandates competing in the same space and aggravating the above problems. Continuing with broadband, what we managed to achieve, Honorable Chairperson, in the past financial year, that is the 2014 and 2015, was the development of a business case for broadband, and then it was then submitted to National Treasury, and then we managed to secure the necessary funding, that is phase one of the broadband. And therefore, what we would then be focusing on with regard to the 2015-2016 would therefore be the implementation of the digital development strategy in line with the resources that have been allocated, about 200 million that has been allocated for the 2015-2016 financial year. And with regard to the money that has been allocated, we will then be providing connectivity to the 1,296 identified government institutions, inclusive of the schools and the health centers. These are the schools and health centers in the 8 NHI sites. And when I was doing the apologies, I said that the minister was in Devon located, and yesterday they were doing a site visit to one of the NHI sites, so it will be included in the 1,296 sites that then will be connected. And then also we will then be focusing on the development of the phase 3 implementation. So what would then be required from our side is the submission of the phase 2 business case in the National Treasury by July 2015 so that we can secure the necessary funding, and also to operationalize the Visual Cyber Security Hub, which is the hub that we are earmarking for securing or proactively monitoring the security or the abuse of internet. Moving on to slide number 6, also continue again with broadband. What we'll then be focusing on with regard to the phase one that has already been allocated funding for is connecting schools, clinics, police stations, and other government facilities in the 8 district municipalities in the 8 provinces where NHI pilot is being piloted by the Department of Health, excluding Gauteng and the Western Cape, that is for their own. Now, in terms of the municipalities that we will then be focusing on, the first one is Kenneth and Kaunda in the northwest, Hurst and Sibanda in Mpumalanga, Oatambo in the Eastern Cape, and Pixley, Gasani in the Northern Cape, Thabo Mofutsanyane in the Free State, Umgunzovu in KZN, and Uzunya to KZN, and also Vembe in Limpopo. Moving on to slide number 7, also continuing again with regard to broadband, and Honorable Chairperson and members, you would note that the main focus for the department, also in line with the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee, is really, in essence, the rollout of broadband. So we'll then be continuing with the implementation of the digital readiness strategy, focusing on the development of the rapid deployment policy aimed at the removal of administrative bottlenecks for the approval of right-of-ways for broadband infrastructure rollout. This policy, in essence, is about fast-tracking the rollout of broadband by the removal of unnecessary or the bottlenecks that have been identified. The next implementation is focused on the digital future strategy, which is developing the roadmap for the establishment of a wholesale open access network inclusive of the ICT SOC rationalization in order to extract efficiencies across state-owned companies in delivering broadband for government. Honorable Chairperson and members, you also note that the Department of Public Enterprise, through the Presidency, they're actually overseeing the implementation of the Presidential Review Commission report. I'm sure you may have received the presentation. And in that report, ICTs is one of the sectors that have been identified to undertake rationalization. So in essence, what we will be undertaking here would be implementing the Presidential Review Commission. And already from the Department of Public Enterprise, they've already started establishing interdepartmental committee, which is its aim is to implement the Presidential Review Commission recommendations. And as a department, we are already participating in that structure. In essence,
the ICT-SOC rationalization would be delivering on those recommendations of the PRC report. And continue again on this slide is developing a policy direction on spectrum for broadband, and this is the high demand spectrum, that is your 700 megahertz, 800 megahertz, and the 3.6 gigahertz. And lastly, the reviewing of the national radio frequency spectrum policy. Continuing again on broadband on slide number 8, which is the implementation of the digital opportunity strategy, focusing on the development and implementing the ICT capacity building program, focusing on supporting community development, health and education center. These programs are housed in the branch that is headed by acting DDG Manetse Mphahlele, which is the information society and development branch. And also we would then be focusing on the implementation of the information ethics program in the identified five as per the digital development program, prioritizing schools and health in the provinces that I spoke to. And we'll start with the Eastern Cape, Free State, and Mpumalanga, which is quarter one, Limpopo, Northwest, Northern Cape in quarter two, KZN, quarter three, and the Eastern Cape, quarter four. And over and above that, we will also be focusing on the mainstreaming of the gender equity, children empowerment, protection, youth development, disability programs within the priority. I know that with regard to the disability programs, there are two schools that have been identified in the Free State, which have got children with disabilities, so we'll then be implementing ICTs in the two schools in the Free State. Continuing again on slide number 9, the next key priority, which is the cost to communicate. South Africa's high cost to communicate affects all sectors of society and remains a concern that must be addressed through policy and regulatory instruments. The National Development Plan confirmed that the price of services and equipment remains a significant barrier to expanding access to services. The NDP requires the development of a similar information infrastructure, providing access to a wide range of converged services at a cost and a quality at least equal to South Africa's main peers and competitors. The department will continue to implement interventions within the cost to communicate program aimed at facilitating investment in the ICT infrastructure, promoting affordability of ICT services to consumers, facilitating market competition in the electronic communication market. Continuing on slide number 10, now in terms of the 2015-2016 priorities or activities, what we will then be doing is development of a policy direction on national roaming to facilitate access to infrastructure, improve competition in the market and reduce the roaming costs. Development of a draft local loop strategy having due regard to ICASA's regulated impact assessment outcomes. The focus is on technologies that is both fixed and mobile. Development of a policy direction on data costs aimed at reducing data costs following the broadband value chain analysis. And lastly, the development and implementation of a monitoring and evaluation framework to assess implementation and impact of interventions to reduce the cost to communicate, such as the effects of the reduction of the wholesale termination rates on the retail prices and on the on-net and off-net price differential. Moving on to the third strategic priority, which is the ICT policy review. This vision in the National Development Plan adopted by the government in 2012 is in many ways the foundation of the ICT policy review process undertaken by a government. The National Development states that a new policy framework will be needed to realize the vision of a fully connected society. And this was about the ICT sector. The policy review does not happen in isolation from other policy developments, such as the national broadband policy that was adopted or approved by Cabinet in December 2013. The ICT policy review will reinforce and extend the objectives set in the broadband plan. The policy process also recognizes that the environment is changing rapidly and that policy interventions need to be continuously assessed against the objective set. It is thus being developed with a 2030 vision, but with specific focus on the next 5 years.
Following the Cabinet approval of the National Integrated ICT Policy Green Paper, extensive consultation was undertaken to inform the development of the discussion paper. The discussion paper highlighted a range of policy options and possible policy approaches, which then led to the development of an ICT policy recommendations report, which has already been submitted to the Minister. With regard to the 2015-2016 financial year, the Department will make use of the ICT policy recommendations report to inform the finalization and subsequently the gazetting of the white paper on national integrated ICT policy. This will be followed by the development of the legislative program of the Department, and once it's available, it will then be tabled consideration by the National Assembly and your committee chairperson. Moving on to slide number 12 with regard to the e-strategy, which is also referred to in the National Development Plan. Though ICTs have the potential to facilitate South Africa's economic development and contribute to job creation and poverty alleviation, ICTs uptake in usage by government, citizens and business is still relatively low in comparison with South Africa's peers, comparator countries. The national e-strategy is therefore focusing at providing forward-looking strategic direction for the implementation of an ICT vision for South Africa. The national e-strategy will serve as a basis to set a national agenda in line with the National Development Plan vision of 2030. The e-strategy will also promote e-government by ensuring that there is a provision of infrastructure for universal access to services, as well as to address the uptake and usage of ICTs by all, including rural and underserved areas. The NDP stipulates that as a country, we have to develop a comprehensive and integrated e-strategy that reflects the cross-cutting nature of ICTs. Focus will also be on the development and implementation of the internet strategy aimed at increasing uptake, usage, and awareness of the internet. Following the finalization of the national e-strategy framework, what we will then be doing in the 2015 and 2016 financial year, the department will then finalize and obtain cabinet approval for the national strategy. One of the things that we also need to do, Honorable Chairperson members, is to take into consideration the ICT policy review recommendations report, because in essence, the strategy must have a reflection of what are the key policy options or choices that we will then be taking as government. Now, moving on to slide number 13 with regard to the postal sector. The adoption and modernization of the postal services is crucial to ensure their continued relevance and value, such that the existing postal infrastructure is leveraged to provide an expanded range of goods and services to South Africans. Despite the declining trend in letter volumes, the postal services sector is an important component of the economic sector in South Africa, contributing approximately 3.16% to the GDP. The post office is therefore an important national strategic asset, and its turnaround and sustainability is important to South Africa's broad long-term development goals. Furthermore, due to the post office infrastructure, it has a far greater depth of reach to the citizens than any other entity. Following the development of the South African Post Office's turnaround plan, with regard to the 2015 and 20 financial year, we will then be focusing on the supporting, coordinating, and monitoring and evaluating the implementation of South African Post Office's turnaround plan, which has been converted into the corporate plan. The corporate plan of the South African Post Office was tabled, I think it was on the 30th Honorable Chairperson of April. Hence why I think we will then be ready to engage the committee when we come back in 2020. And then over and above that, informing, facilitating, monitoring, and evaluating the development of South African post office infrastructure in terms of the post office's point of presence or POPs. Also, what we will also be doing is the development and obtaining approval of the national address system policy. Continuing again on slide number 14 with regard to the Post Bank, the Post Bank has a critical role in the financial services environment of the South African population, especially as it concerns the economically marginalized citizens and those who are not in reach of the banking sector. Within this broader theme of universal service and access, the Postbank will lead expansion of access to banking services to the majority of citizens, mainly in the rural South Africa. The Postbank has a formidable customer base to launch new transactional services, including lending facilities, thus providing the much-needed financial services, especially to the currently unbanked. With regard to the 2015-2016 financial year, the department will focus on facilitating and coordinating the corporatization of Postbank with specific reference to the licensing of the Postbank, appointment of the Postbank members, the establishment of Postbank holding company, and the incorporation of Postbank company. Moving on to the financial information that is on slide number 15, that is the main slide. Slide number 16, Honorable Chairperson. The total allocation of the department, including our entities, is 1.4 billion. And just maybe just to take you through the breakdown, administration is around 173 billion, which is mainly most of the budget is goods and services and salaries. ICT International is 43 million. Policy research and capacity development is 105 million. Just to reflect that this program is actually housing three branches. That is DDG TIRI, which is the ICT policy branch, and then there's the information society and development branch, and there's also the e-skills branch, which we are in the process of integrating it with NEMISA, one of the institutes that is responsible for training. Then the next branch, shareholder oversight, which is 447 million, which also includes transfers to the public entities, and also the infrastructure support branch, 642 million. It also includes the 200 million that has been allocated for broadband, and also the transfer to Centec, one of our entities. Moving on to slide number 17, which shows the economic classification of the budget. The current payment is 679 million, which is made up of compensation, that is salaries and goods and services. This is mainly more or less the budget of the department. Transfers and subsidies is the money that goes to the entities and membership, that is membership that we pay for example, the International Telecommunication Union, the ACHU, the Postal Union, etc. Payments for capital assets is all assets that we procure at the department above 5,000. Moving on to slide number 18, which shows the breakdown in terms of transfers and subsidies or membership fees. The membership fees that we pay to international organizations is 22 million, and then transfers to NEMISA, that is the institute that is responsible for training, multimedia training, is 36 million. USASA is 66 million, and an allocation for the DTT sector box in this financial year is 196 million. So apologies, for the project management, 196 million. And then we have the USAF operations, which is 52 million. And then there's also a transfer to the South African Post Office of 64 million. And also an allocation for the sector box, which is 101 million, which is then will be transferred to USASA. And then also 109 million to Centec for the dual elimination. Moving on to slide number 20, Honorable Chairperson, which shows the alignment between the department's priorities with the medium-term strategic framework, the national development plan, and the state of the nation address, which is on slide number 20. I'll go quick on this slide. The first key area of alignment from the national development plan is an urgent need for a full policy review, and this target in terms of the medium-term strategic framework is what we are required is to develop a new policy framework, strategy and plan for the ICT sector. And our target for the 2015-2016 financial year is the white paper on the National Integrated ICT Policy, finalized and gazetted.
And the next key focus area that is in the National Development Plan is South Africa needs a comprehensive and integrated e-strategy. And in the medium-term strategic framework is a national strategy to facilitate the growth of all related sectors. And in the 2015-2016 ACP is a national strategy developed and approved. Moving on to slide number 21, which focuses on broadband. NDP says that there should be 100% broadband penetration. And then the MTSF says extend broadband penetration by 100%. What we'll then be focusing on with regard to the 2015-2016 financial year is the implementation of phase one in line with the budget that has been allocated, and also the implementation of a number of key priorities like the roadmap for the establishment of a wholesale open access, a policy direction on spectrum, and etc. Moving on to slide number 22, the NDP requires us to improve the quality, reduce the cost, and expand the reach of local loop. MTSF says that we need to develop a strategy for the local loop to ensure that quality improves, costs and are reduced. And then the target for the 2015-16 is the implementation of a program of action for the cost to communicate, which is a roaming policy direction developed, a draft local loop strategy developed, a policy direction on data cost, and monitoring and evaluation framework implemented. The next one that is also on the in the NDP is to outline the demand stimulation interventions to promote ICT diffusion such as e-literacy programs, ICT skills and institutional capacity development strategies. The MTSF is about promoting e-literacy, and our key target would be the e-strategy and the e-internet strategy. Moving on to slide number 23, which focuses on the 2015 State of the Nation Address. The year 2015 will mark the beginning of the first phase of the broadband rollout. Government will connect offices in 8 district municipalities. The 2015-2016 target, phase one of the digital development plan, focuses on the 8 districts that has been spoken to by the president. And then moving on, apologies, still on slide number 23, the president also announced that government has also decided to designate Telkom as a lead agency to assist with the rollout of broadband. Our key activity would be a roadmap for the establishment of a wholesale open access developed, a policy direction on broadband finalized, and the rapid deployment that I've spoken to earlier on. Moving on to slide number 24, Annexure B, which is the strategic alignment of priorities between the department and its entities. In an effort to ensure an integrated and aligned planning, our entities were involved in the department's planning process, while the relevant department officials from the core branches also participated in the strategic planning workshops of each entity. A joint planning workshop was held on the 11th of February 2015, that is us and the entities, to ensure alignment and synergy in terms of the SOC priorities with those of the department based on the respective mandate of each entity. The next paragraph, Honorable Chairperson, when we were presenting the ACP and the strategy before the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services, they had also invited all our entities, and I think that's why the statement says this is the same presentation that we had presented to the committee. Moving on to slide number 26, that summarizes the priorities of the SOC Oversight Unit. The reason why we had unpacked what the SOC Oversight Unit would be doing is that sometimes one gets a sense that we don't necessarily explain the amount of work that we also have to undertake on a day-to-day with regard to the work of our entities. The SOC branch has identified the following critical issues to improve its oversight function. The first one is the need to review the mandate and the funding models of SOCs under the department. And then secondly, the development and oversight model for the state-owned companies under the department, development of an approval of an ICT SMME program model, facilitate the full operationalization and licensing of the post bank with the full board complement,
monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of the South African Post Office Turnaround Plan, monitoring financial sustainability of broadband infraco, monitoring the implementation of the corporate strategic plans of all the entities under the auspices of the department, facilitating the legal establishment of INESI, monitoring the implementation of the shareholder compact, and facilitate the rationalization of the state-owned enterprises. And then with regard to our entities, Honorable Chairperson, I'll just summarize each entity. The main issue for the South African Post Office, in essence, is the implementation of the corporate plan, which was tabled on the 18th of April 2015. But we'll deal with the details, Honorable Chairperson, when we come to present. And also, the South African Post Office is working with USASA, and what we will then be focusing on is the alignment of South African Post Office distribution plan, that is for the set-top box, once the policy has been approved, and the broadcasting data migration policy has already been approved by and finalized by Minister Mkhandi, and then the conclusion of a service level agreement between the two entities, that is SAPO and USASA, and therefore then the distribution of the digital set-top boxes. The last issue, I think we spoke about the licensing application, the corporatization of Postbank, which is something that we are dealing with, working closely with the South African Post Office. Moving on to the next entity of the department, which is Centec. Centec will be focusing on the expansion of the digital terrestrial network, completing the four greenfield sites, the connecting 300 satellite sites, and also focusing on the connecting 33 community radio broadcasters. Moving on to the next entity, which is 29, on slide number 29, which is the broadband infraco. What we will then be focusing on from an oversight point of view is broadband infraco embarked on developing an institutional structure in order to minimize the current funding challenges through focusing on effective CAPEX management, and also a new product development for additional revenue stream, focusing on a competitive open access, carrier neutral connectivity enabled that offers a higher than industry service level performance. Moving on to slide number 30, which deals with the State Information Technology Agency, which will be focusing on the comprehensive procurement improved strategy implemented to improve the procurement efficiencies and turnaround time. Honorable Chairperson and members, you know that one of the challenges that CISA has is with regard to the turnaround times in dealing with procurement for government. But not only that, but also a high number of tenders that eventually get cancelled. That becomes another problematic issue that we are still grappling with regard to CISA. But also ensuring that we have a proactive, not a reactive approach with regard to e-government. These are some of the things that we've been engaging CISA on that. A reactive approach that only relies on a certain government department saying, this is what I want. It's not taking us forward. And our view is that we should rather have a proactive approach with regard to e-government so that we can get to a point where the discussions around e-government can be a closed discussion. Now moving on to the slide number 31, maybe let me just reflect on slide number 30 with regard to data security. The big thing that we also need to ensure with regard to CETA is safeguarding and protecting government information. Moving on to slide number 31 with regard to USASA. USASA will then be focusing on the subsidizing of the 5 million media household set-top boxes. But Honorable Chairperson and members, you know that even though the broadcasting policy, including the digital migration program, is now a mandate of the Department of Communications, we still, as a department, have entities that are implementing agencies with regard to the broadcasting digital migration, like, for example, USASA, which plays a critical component in terms of the procurement of the set-top boxes, and the South African Post Office on the distribution, and Centec on the signal distribution. So it therefore means that from our side, we need to have a very close working relationship with the Department of Communications because of the nature of their mandate and what our entities are responsible for, some of our entities are responsible for. UCESA will also be focusing on providing the two municipalities that are in the underserved areas within hand, that is Albert Luthuli local municipality and the Vembe local municipality, and also connecting three schools of the people with disabilities in underserved areas with internet. And I think of the two, no, I think these ones are not of the department here. Moving on to slide number 32, which is the last entity of the department in regard to the presentation, and the MISA, which is to build through campaigns, public awareness and partnership, a substantive, formalized, multi-stakeholder collaboration network involving government, business, state-owned companies, civil society, organized labor, that will contribute to the massification of e-skills delivery at all levels, leveraging existing ICT education and training expertise, infrastructure, and courses so as to produce a three customized targeted courses, transform 18 existing ICT centers into smart community knowledge centers, and to provide access to online courses, and lastly, to implement a monitoring framework to aggregate the uptake of technology within society. The only entity, Honorable Chairperson, that we did not summarize is with regard to the .za domain name. And I think the rationale is that they actually submitted the strategic plan later than what was expected, because then they had a different view of whether they should comply with the submission of a strat plan. We're talking about an entity that is self-sustainable financially, and I think the way it was formulated in the, I think it was in the Electronic Communication Act, if I'm correct, is that it doesn't have to comply with the PFMA, but it's something that we are still looking at, because our view is that .za domain name is making revenue from the domain name space that belongs to the South African government. The fact that it's financially sustainable and the fact that maybe the money that they're collecting is not of a significant amount, it doesn't deal away with the principle that the domain name space belongs to South Africa, and therefore they should therefore also be accountable in terms of how they use that money. But it's a process that is underway, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CG, for the presentation. Very important. I think I'm going to allow members to raise a question. One question that I would want quickly to ask the board, it came up with me by me now, and why are you not within your strategic plan bringing in maybe you think financial services expense and everything. I don't know how it works, but the services that they deliver by the shop licenses and checkers, sending money, receiving money, you know, that kind of thing, paying, that kind of thing. Because especially where you're having post offices within the centers, because what I noticed normally, I'm also making use of that kind of services. Long queues, people are standing there in the queue, and I think there is a need for service, you know, a separate service provided to deliver these services. I don't know if it's falling within your mandate, if you can, but I was just thinking, why is the post office struggling to turn around the business? Maybe you need to look at this place, I mean, or booking or flight. Can we ask for questions? Let me, Honorable Masango. Honorable Malang.
Lambo. Honorable Smith. Ashwenda. Honorable Mr. Powerful. Thank you, Ms. Paul, for this order.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, teachers, for the presentation. My question is because the chairperson said earlier on that this is the start, so it's questions that are seeking more clarity and a confirmation of my understanding of what the department has just presented. And let's start with the slide where you were presenting, you were analyzing the market at the moment, where you were saying it's inefficient, it's expensive and things like that. Okay, yeah. And I just wanted to find out that the plans that we are having now are the plans that are also trying to mitigate things. So we have plans that are going to ensure that the market is ready to receive the efficient service that is not costly and things like that. I just wanted to, because that was a very interesting situation analysis on your part. And the second one, especially recently, we've been having meetings like this with departments, and without fail, each department was saying that they, as they would present their priorities for the year, they would then go on and say that we will be working with other departments, which is expected. And also, within departments, and SOCs, they would then, each an SOC would say we would be working with the other SOCs to achieve or to realize their goals in as far as their priorities are concerned. And I just wonder if there is any sort of strategy, as it were, because it sounded with some departments that there was no upgrade, if you like, of this working relationship because now we have a priority. It's like it's going to be business as usual among ourselves, but we will be trying to achieve a priority that has been announced to the nation by either the state of the nation address or an announcement, a big announcement that has been made. And in this case, I'm talking about South Africa Connect and all those things. And my next question also goes to the readiness of the e-strategy or South Africa Connect, not by the readiness by the department and its partners who are implementing it, but the recipients, especially when you go to rural areas and in places where I believe this strategy is going to be concentrated, because it is saying that there is a duplication in the urban areas, so going rural. And I think also the selection of the sites that we are going to eight district municipalities that the pilot is going to, it's looking at what one could call a rural site, as it were. And also on that question or clarity, Chairperson, I would like to know, just to confirm, that Gauteng and Western Cape are not part of that because they are urban, more urban than the other provinces. And then the first phase of this broadband game, the funding has been secured. And I just wanted to know if the securing of the second phase, this funding, will it depend on the success or lack of it of the first phase, or is it just a phasing that will then follow? What is the arrangement in as far as the funding of the second phase is going on with the project? The next question, Chair, is general. standard if we do announcements before we are at a certain level of readiness to implement whatever announcements we make, and then create this huge expectation, which then reflects on the department as if they were not ready, or they were just making, they were just exciting us, and but they are not ready to do what they are exciting us about doing. And my next question is about South African Post Office. I know that we will be getting presentations in the near future, but I just want to know, I cannot wait for them to know about the challenges that South African Post Office has had, and how those challenges have had, what impact it has had on the customer base of South African Post Office as it relates to other providers of the services that South African Post Office is providing. If we will go there and find that we have no clients anymore because they're going to the alternative providers. I don't know. I don't know whether, you know, that is even possible. But I just, for me, it was very something that I needed to understand coming from the department, because I didn't want to just speculate to say, because we had the challenges, so we don't have customers. And the 5 million needy households, is this based, is it an estimate, or is it based on some sets of Africa information that we know that we have 5 million needy households that will give us the care of the, what is it that we use? This set of boxes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member Malamu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you, DG. I also want to welcome your presentation. My first question will be linked to what the Honorable Sam has just done about housing. Of course, we are from housing, me and thank you. Yeah, no, sure, it's not. You know, I'm looking at a situation whereby you will say as a department, because these two provinces are so urbanized, they've got their own programs in terms of roadhouses, and you say you'll look at them. But I feel that there must be some kind of discussion from the department to these two provinces as some kind of an oversight to check how far are they with their rollout, so that there must be a link between yourselves as a department and these two provinces, because they form part of the country, by the way. So they can't just be left to do things as provinces, but there must at least be that link with the department. That's the major. That's one. On the issue of cybercrime, in the past, the department used to say it has formulated and developed the policy around cybercrime, and that it is with justice and state security. So, on your slide, sorry for that, but there's a slide where you are talking of cyber hubs, security cyber hub, or cyber security hubs, something of that nature. Are those hubs developed because there is an approval from that security cluster, that slide number five, that you can now develop those cyber security hubs, and is the state security involved also in those hubs? And on slide number 28,
talk of the DTT network expansion, complete four greenfield sites. I just want to know where are those sites situated or allocated. Slide 28. The first bullet. And slide number 31 that talks to the to connect preschools of people with disabilities, but you never expanded on that one. I heard you say no, it's not for the department. Because I just wanted to know where are those schools situated. Have you already identified those schools as a department? Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable member. I think number three is honorable member Sassar.
Thank you very much, honorable chairperson. Let me also join honorable members by welcoming this presentation, which is of course raising a lot of expectations, and equally also congratulate the department that brought through the STEP plan, because we see a lot of acronyms and signs, but if you go through that, it allays that fear that we relax fully are also documented here. Much has been said by my colleague here. Slide number 227. The corporatizations of the postbank. There's a sense of agency there, looking at the importance of the accessibility of these institutions to the most marginalized sector of the society, particularly in the rural areas. I've been listening to my honorable members, colleagues here also when you are talking of other places which were characterized as highly affluent areas because of the development which were very skewed historically. By identifying the eight, I think indeed is to redress and address these imbalances so that the most marginalized should cope. Going through my question is that are there any impediments that can hamper this process of corporatizations, or is just this move we can expect that within a particular time or date this process would have unfolded so that we can now as we are representing the provinces sometimes also make some indication that indeed the post bank will ultimately be accessible to the community, but maybe with some indication that within 5 years or 3 years that can materialize. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable member. Honorable Hyde. Honorable member King.
Mine are just procedural issues. That's why I wanted to give honorable thing to ask questions first. One is, you know, when you deal with the strategic plans and the APPs, those documents are more of a high-level documents. What I would like to request to the departments, this is what we have requested to the department that we dealt with yesterday. It is something that is happening in the in DMR, Department of Mineral Resources. If you look at the presentation, as well as the strategic plans and the APP, when you just on this presentation, DG, there are lots of strategies and policies that inform the strategic plan. The disadvantage with regard to members is that when you mention a policy or strategy, we don't have an understanding of the details of the strategy. The number of them that we talked about, rapid deployment policy, ICT policy, national strategy, you know, there are a lot of them, South Africa Connect, South Africa Internet Strategy. You also have even a turnaround plan for SAFE, the South African Post Offices. We don't all have a clue as members what are the details of these strategies and plans. So the request that we made to DAF, for example, which was accepted by the DG of DAF, we hope that this will also be accepted by SAFE. I know it's a lot of work that we requested. That we should be provided as members with what I call a toolkit. A toolkit with all the policies that you refer to in the strategic plan. So that as we deal with the strategic plan, we are informed about the plans and strategies as well as members that inform the strategy, the strategic plan of the department. Otherwise, we'll be just going through the smart process without necessarily understanding the strategies and plans and policies. So if we could have that toolkit, it will make work easier for us. So that we, you know, when you talk about South African Connect, what you're talking about. And once you know about it, you know you'll be able to locate it to a particular program in the strategic plan. And also in the annual performance plan, and therefore be able to see whether the correct indicators, the performance is measurable, so that is one request that we want to make. The second one is that you know you have a strategic plan and APP that is already done. So, we can make comments, it's going to be difficult, even if you wish, to include the comments that we're making here into the strategic plan and APP that have already been signed off. You could consider these issues maybe in your planning process for the future. So what we wanted to suggest, which is the same request that we made to DAF yesterday, as part of your planning process, you could perhaps invite the members of parliament, preferring to both houses. I'm not saying that the planning cycle is different. You start in May and all that. You it would be in your discretion to find the relevant phase in the planning process where then you can invite the MPs so that they could perhaps make contribution and input. As well, it makes it easier than when you come to account on the pay and the plans. We also moving from the premise of understanding what this strategy is in. So that is a request that I would like to make from my. But also the strategic plan. we want to also make a request that if it could be in the form of an addendum where the summary of each program, what does it mean for provinces, so that it's not the same presentation that you do for the portfolio committees, because our mandate is that of provincial interest. So each program, this is what the program entails, strategic or goals or objective, but what it means for each province. It may not necessarily be all the provinces. There could be those issues that are only related to some provinces, not all provinces. So that at least we are able to, when we also conduct oversight visits, we are able to know this is what, for instance, you may not have Western Tech in all the provinces. I don't know. I'm just making an example. But also in addition to the issue of the workshop on strategic plans, that we bring all, but this goes to the management now, management committee that prepares for these meetings, that we should bring the department together with these entities in one meeting for the strategic plans and APPs. Because I don't know when are we going to, I don't know how many entities the department has, but I understand that it's quite a number of entities, 7. Imagine if we were to bring each one of them every meeting. These must have 7 meetings, 8 with the department itself. So I would like to suggest that going forward, it's out for now, but then I think the next is a similar meeting, so it will be dealing with the annual report towards the end of the year. I want to suggest that we should bring the department together with its entities. Even if it means we take the whole day, it may not necessarily be Wednesday, we can make arrangements between ourselves and the department on the convenient day. It could be Friday, it could be weekend, so that we deal with the annual reports of the department, we deal with the annual reports of the 7 entities, once and for all. So that's another proposal that I want. Sorry. I know they are always flexible. My fear would be the members rather than the officials. Just one question then for myself. With regard to the broadband, there's a slide that talks to the issue of the pilot. You've listed the areas. My question would be on the time frame then to with regard to the actual rollout kind of a pilot project for it. There must be a time frame with regard when then now we starting with the actual rollout of the broadband. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank the department for that presentation. My concern is that my question is in regards to the new rollout of iPads that the Department of Education is now looking into, so that children are not, or learners are not carrying bags and books in rural areas. Is the department able to help resolve the problems where there isn't signal in certain areas? I've been to visit many schools. They don't even have computers because they cannot access. Another department is wanting to roll out that. And the second question I have is that the vacancy rate in the department, and I'd like to know why we have the number of people that are
the positions are vacant and by when they'll be filled.
Honourable Member Sakis.
Chair, I just want to ask two simple questions because I was here for the better part of the presentation. Can you just say something about the master plan? Maybe I missed it in your presentation. The broadband master plan. Just take a few seconds to get into that. In your presentation, you spoke about the issue of cyber security, and I just want to check whether, as much as you the level of knowledge carried by the officials in the department on the cyber security. Are they empowered about the threat? Because this is an international threat in terms of all countries, and the preparedness of the department, and I will say the most fundamental department in the entire country to deal with these issues is your department, because it's the department that deals with your digital right. You operate in that space. But linked to that is the relationship that you have with all other departments, including the State Security Department. And how do you share resources on this matter of cyber security? I'm posing this question, DG, because you will talk to the defense intelligence. They will say they don't have necessary equipment or enough equipment. They only have old equipment, and even those old equipment are not enough. And you go to crime intelligence. They will tell you that yes, we have equipment, but it's not enough. But then you don't get a sense from all these departments or sections or segments saying we want to have a shared view that could better position us and empower us in terms of the capabilities and the capacity if we have shared resources. You combine resources. I think the DG can better articulate on that. Go to the other.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. You're welcome. Honorable Chairperson, very quick. In the space, we've got the global players. I want to check the regulatory means. For instance, we'll be having your Yahoo here, Google, or whatever, coming from other areas. Operating here in South Africa, how do we manage them? In terms of the evasions of taxation, do we have that capacity? Maybe.
Thank you, Mr. Papo. I just want to understand the broadband rollout by Telkom. What role is Infracom playing? It's a state-owned company to provide the same services. On slide 16 and 18 about the 22 million budgeting for membership fees, it's a lot of
informed that there were 2 million, or is it just if you were putting the money aside for portable, or is there a policy or what the cost of the fee is? The other question is, are the mobile operators complying with the policy of the reduced cost to communicate? Is there a time frame of the reduction in cost? Thank you. Over to you, DJ. You can start. Sorry, there's another again. Honorable Member Malambu.
Thank you. On slide number 4, I think.
On slide?
4. The last bullet of the duplication. The duplication of mandates in terms of interdepartmental discussion. I think it was raised by Honorable Malam. She was not specific on this question to say what measures are being taken by the department to avoid this kind of duplication by other state entities and other departments, because this might create a problem, especially in terms of the last question by Comrade Honorable Pakis. Anyway, yes, it's my comrade. In terms of state security, these duplications, they happen to disturb when it comes to issues of cyber security. There's too much duplication. Information happen. I hope Mr. Pierre will understand better on this one as a specialist on this department. You happen to lose information because of this duplication, even sensitive information. Thank you.
Thank you, Member. Allow me to ask one more question before you answering. It's about the retrenchment thing. Between 26 and 48 years is most of the people employed in your area. Is there a plan how to keep productive people in post office, or do you have a plan how you're going to deal with this problem of criteria? Thank you, you can start by answering the question.
Honorable Chairperson, members, thank you very much. I think we will equally share the questions with all my colleagues. Let me just start with the ones of membership. The 22 million, Honorable Chairperson, is made up of 14.764 million that goes to the International Telecommunication Union. 764. And then the African Telecommunication Union is 986,000. The Universal Postal Union is 4.723 million. And the PAPU is 108,000. And then there's the OECD 437 and the CTO 376,000. Now, what informs the amount that we pay is based on a point system that we subscribe as a country. And the point system, when we committed ourselves, was based on our international policy. And I recall, with regard to the ITU, is when we were accepted back post-94 as a country, reestablishing ourselves. But it's also informed by the role that we play. Point system. It's also informed by the role that we play within SADC and Africa. Noting that you've got countries, smaller countries that are not in a position to pay more than they need. So those are the dynamics that informs the payment. We internally, we've also looked at the figures, and we're of the view that we need to relook at this. We've been engaging the minister. I know that, especially on the ITU, because the former Secretary General of the ITU, can I tell you from his country?
From Mali.
He's from Mali. So, and then the incoming candidate is, or the now SG is from China. And of course, because of our relationship with Brexit and all of that. So those were the dynamics that we looked at. So even then, the decision was that it would look like we are stepping China, you know, while China is coming in, we are reducing our contribution and all of that. So you have to look at those, all those dynamics in terms of us as a country, our relations. And I mean, you know, the other day we were at the international ICTS cluster. I think it was the DG of DTI. I remember, it was the economic cluster where the DG of DTI was actually presenting that. If you look back 20 years ago, and I just said I'm a friend that didn't know so. If you look at, I think how much was coming from Africa from an export point of view versus now, we've actually grown a hell of a lot. That as a country, we are in a better position because of the businesses that we do in Africa. So all these things is because of the kind of policies that we've selected. So one may want to look at the monetary figure, but coming to the ultimate decision, it's not, you have to look at other dynamics of our spending as a country and our contributions and all of that. But it's something that we've reflected on and we'll continue to reflect on. The next question, and maybe before I hand over to my colleagues, now, maybe let's talk about the dependencies. That was the question that I was asked by Honorable Masango. The money that has been allocated is actually 42% of what we had requested, which is, I think they've given us around 700 million over a 3-year period, 200 and maybe says another 2-something and a 2-something. So it's 42% of what we've requested. What we are advised by Treasury is, unfortunately, with regard to the fiscal, there's no new money. What Treasury does is that they continuously monitor programs that are not moving, and then they just move money around. Like, for example, what was allocated to us was a result of underspending, especially from energy. So then the money was moved to us. Now, what they then said to us is that you also need to move money, which then becomes an issue for us, for them to allocate money for us for phase two. Because for us to be able to say we have a case for phase two, we must have demonstrated an ability to spend, especially in this financial year. So those are things that Treasury is quite aggressive on, to say, you know, fine, we've given you the money, but we're monitoring. Like, for example, even on the issue of the set-top box, because of the delays of the policies, we've already had a discussion with Treasury where they're saying there are other pressing problems where, you know, if we don't move them, if we don't spend the money, they are looking at maybe moving the money. So those are the discussions that we are constantly engaging with National Treasury. Now, the rationale was not really to exclude Gauteng and Western Cape, but Gauteng and Western Cape are quite advanced with regard to broadband rollout comparing to, we are not saying they don't have a need, they do have a need, but we are comparing. Because if you look at percentage-wise of broadband penetration, the use of ICTs in education overall, I mean, you've got Gauteng and Western Cape there, and then you've got these other ones there. So it's not about whether a person comes from Gauteng or not, it's about what is the interest of the country and balancing. Because the idea is you would want a child that comes from Eastern Cape or Limpopo to be in a better position with a child that comes from Gauteng. And also, remember, these ones that come from Gauteng, Western Cape, they might have got access to these. I mean, most of the universities and colleges are in Gauteng and all of it. So for me, it's more an issue of let's be considerate. But phase two, they will definitely be included, because phase two is about the whole country, so they'll definitely be included. But still, it means that still even in phase two, there will still be an argument that let's prioritize the ones that are quite behind. Like, for example, Eastern Cape is quite behind. It's one province that we really need to strengthen our support to ensure that at least we get it on par. While other provinces may not have advanced with regard to implementation, but from a planning point of view, they are advanced. But you find that, like, for example, Eastern Cape and Northwest, they are behind.
behind. And Northern Cape is also another province. The discussion is there, but the planning is not really there because of the dynamics of, you know, the population and that of Northern Cape. Hence why also in the set-top box rollout, one of the key decisions that we took as government was because of the SKA, the way it's declared as noise-free, interference-free area, we then prioritize that. Let's at least ensure that those who then have to be affected by the removal of antennas in those areas, at least they're given the satellite set-top boxes so that they are not disadvantaged because of programs that we approved as government. Temba, can I allow you to come in on the post bank, the market factor, and the issue of checkers and pick and pay? And then Mami.
Thank you, FCC. Honorable members, just a reflection on the money market issue that Shepherdson, you are raising about the long queues. In fact, it is the intent of the state that the post-bank corporatization should respond to that problem. We were discussing as a department just the day before yesterday about whether is this still a big problem wherein there is inaccessibility of funding facilities and also access to banking services. And in fact, we do conclude that there is quite a relevance for the department to move forward with the licensing of this post bank. So I think the money market facilities, as you see them in pick and pays or checkers, really are a less regulated problem for the financial services boards. And we think these are simply services that can be rolled out in post offices or post banks, as it were. Did you want me to deal with market security? Yes. Chairperson, and I think it is a question also relating to Honorable Masango about our plans responding to cost to communicate. So the narrative here is that, in fact, we have a very complex market structure as we move to data services broadband, as DG was explaining. Because these services come as a premium, you would see that there has to be a lot of upgrades of networks, which costs a lot of money. So in economic terms, you look at it in terms of a long-term investment and recouping that investment, and then services and competition, as it were. So with regards to voice services, we are doing very well because we can make a call. There's a lot of capacity to take calls at a particular point in time on landline and fixed. But we are faced with this challenge of high costs for data services, and we have plans here to deal with that. It's not an easy process. I think you will note that what you have to go through ICASA in regulating data services. So you have to study each market from wholesale to retail to understand what are the services that are offered there. And so our legislation deals with that issue in terms of regulations after conducting studies. And in these studies, you have to declare if there's dominance. And if there's dominance, then you declare it as such, and therefore competition, because our legislation is really very firm on promotion of competition, but through the right way, so that you don't come in as government and just interfere and say the price shall be this or that. So the plans as we have them here in the Cost to Communicate program are dealing with that, but they are looking at wholesale, they are also looking at infrastructure level and services, as it were. There is a question about regulation of services such as OTT services, also, you know, whether Microsoft and all of them, Honorable Sifaf, these are internet-based services. There's less regulation that deals with that. The regulation in terms of what we do is what Didi explained, the domain name authority, so where they have to register with ZA domain name to say .com is registered here, but they do contribute to the ZA domain contribution. It's a less contribution. It's not much to do with taxation. Taxation in terms of the competition policy is with regards to CIPRO, SARS and all of that, and it's not just our domain. The impediments around corporatization. Yes, we are. It's not smooth sailing because there's a Reserve Bank, which is an independent institution that's looking into compliance issues. So one of those is that with respect to funding, Postbank is not experiencing funding challenges, even though SAPO is. So there's sufficient reserves for that. There is challenges of network upgrades for them to be able to run those networks, those services that are online based, and that requires a lot of funding. There is a discussion around, whether there's a need to amend legislation to deal with the requirements of the bank controlling company for a Postbank. The cabinet has taken a decision that the controlling company has to be SAPO, and the Reserve Bank has a view that perhaps there should be a direct way in which minister can play a role, which could result in elevating the Postbank as a public entity similar to SAPO, with minister being the shareholder. So those are the issues that we are grappling with there, but they're in the purview of the department.
Honourable Chairperson, members, let me just add on what Themba was saying with regard to Postbank. Whether South African Post Office is a holding company or we have a different holding company, it then changes the dynamics in terms of the capital requirements. Like, for example, if SAPO is a holding company, then the Reserve Bank has got a different view in terms of the capital requirements for the South African Post Office. So those are the things that we are really grappling with, like Themba was saying, but it's a matter that we are engaging the minister with the view of finding a way to unlock the issue to move forward, because Postbank stand alone, it's financially, it's in a very good position. But now question is that you've got the mother company that has got its own challenges. Like, for example, what the Postbank Act requires is that two of the SAPO board members should be appointed on the board of Postbank. Now, last year with the resignation of all the SAPO board members, it then affected our processes on the side, because it means that we then needed to look at the names that we had decided, because we had some of the names that are on the SAPO board to get on the Postbank. So those are some of the dynamics that we are re-looking at. But also, Honourable Chairperson and members, appointment of people on the Postbank, which is a matter of the Reserve Bank, has got a different requirement. Like, for example, the people must be subjected to fit and proper, which is more like a top security clearance type, where they look at your ability to manage your finances and all that. That becomes a very extensive process where you could have identified a person. Then you get to the point where now you're saying, I'm done with the board, the issue of the board. The person's name is now rejected because of something that they did when they were 18 years. So it's a bit of a complicated process, the whole issue of the posting. Let me just deal with the issue of the cyber security. When we started developing the cyber security policy, I think it was around before, I think it was 2010-11 or so. There was a view within the security cluster that while a cyber security threat may start as a civilian matter, but as it progresses, it will then escalate to a point where it becomes a national security issue that would then become the correct custodian. Then there was a decision that the correct custodian on dealing with issues of cyber security is the SSA, hence why they are the ones who are there for overall coordinating. We are then reporting into the structure. We participate in the structure that is led by SSA. Our role as a department is about the cyber security hub that deals with more the civilian. SSA, they've also got their own cyber security, which is at a higher level because now it's the national security interest of the country. And then you've got justice that is responsible for the bill. Justice has started a process to develop a cyber security bill. All of us will then be governed by that bill. So our role as a department is mainly the cyber security hub and the awareness as far as it relates to the general public. The general public needs to be educated on cyber security. But now let's assume that you've got a hacking between South Africa and India.
it's a matter that will be dealt by the cyber security hub of SAP, because it's a national security issue. So we are participating in that, and the role players, they do understand. So each department has got its own roles and responsibilities. They've been clarified in terms of who is supposed to do what. Of course, each department will then say, like us, we don't have the sufficient fund to do it. Even the portion that has been allocated just to us, we're not talking about the justice police, because they've also got their own roles with regard to the cyber security. But what I can confirm is that there is consistency in terms of participation, both from justice, police, us, SSA, which are the defense. I think these are the main key departments that are participating in the structure of cyber security. Mamis, do you want to come in? Yeah, and the JCPN cluster.
I was saying, DG, one element linked to this was the knowledge of your officials and the sharing of resources. Look, as much as SSA is responsible for this, but when you go to different segments of SAO, like I mentioned or aforementioned, your crime intelligence, your defense intelligence, you'll find that they don't have enough, they have capacity but not enough in terms of equipment following the trend of technological developments that are made. I think that's another point. Let me just the opportunity to share. What is the attitude of the minister? You know, the minister is not here, supposed to be asking him or her those questions. Look, we cannot take 5 years and we talk about the review or the amendment of the act or the legislation with regard to the posting. Well, what is the attitude of the minister on that issue? Or is there any process that has been established to kickstart very soon? We are now approaching the second year of this first parliament, and this issue is still on our table. When you answer that DG, please link it with the point that relates to the shareholding interest. I'm not sure whether is there any member who have posed that question and you have responded to it, but you will pardon me because I was not here.
Also a follow-up on the corporatization. I want to check the role of the South African Reserve Bank and its role and connection on the global sphere. To what extent is there any influence from the Bretton Woods institutions, the World Bank, to the Reserve Bank? Is the interest of the country first, or perhaps is also having some restrictions from the influence of the Bretton Woods institutions? Thank you.
With regard to the attitude of the minister, maybe let me start with the study that has already been conducted by the administrator and his technical team, because one of the turnaround plan was to look at what is the correct model for the South African Post Office. There isn't a South African Post Office that has demonstrated financial sustainability that doesn't have a component of financial services. So in that domain where you've got your mail volume declining drastically, what it requires is for SAPO to diversify its business. And diversifying its business is about, not necessarily SAPO, I'm just talking about a post office, diversifying its business into the financial market and then the retail in terms of your e-services and all of that. So it is from that posture that our view is that we don't see how we can have a South African post office sustainable outside post office. And also remember, in terms of brick and bottle, the two are joined on the heat. When you walk into a post bank, you walk into a post office, it's the same door. So while we can talk about separation of assets and liabilities, it's rather impossible because it's just one wall. So the attitude of the minister is that our view is that SAPO should remain the holding company, but of course there's this other element. I think that we were discussing with the DGT even the other day that while we can be stubborn about our approach, but we've got a regulator that we need to engage and resolve the issue with. Because as we continue working, they will then say, but we spoke to you the other day and the other day and the other day. Where are you with what we are recommending? So these are the matters that we've raised with the minister that we need to resolve our thinking versus the thinking of the research in the interest of ultimately what we want to achieve. And which is the real issue of what the DGP was talking to earlier on.
Honorable Chair.
Thanks, DG. Thanks, Honorable Members. I think I will confine my responses to Honorable Masango's question around the national strategy of the digital opportunities program that is going to be implemented in the NHI pilot size. So here, I think, Honorable Members, we took cue from the international readiness indices that we are benchmarked around. We looked at the ITU's Digital Opportunities Index, we looked at the World Bank's rankings, we looked at the World Economic Forum's Global IT Reports, Network Readiness Index, and so on. And what is coming up, or the trend has been, at least in the last few years, is that South Africa is a country ranked very highly on the political and regulatory environment, right? So we have a stable government, we've got a stable political environment, we've got the rules of the game are very clear to all the players, operators that are operating in the space of in the ICT sector. And that we're also, from a business innovation point of view, we're also ranked very well. 55 out of 134 countries that have been surveyed. But where we are not doing so well is on the social impact of everything that we do. ICT are taking usage by government officials, by individuals, and by business, and in particular small businesses, is very low, right? But that is also intertwined with the fact that there's ICT skills levels are also low. And we're also ranked very low when it comes to issues of affordability, the issues that DGP and the DG was talking to this morning on the call to communicate. At the present moment, the 2015 rankings by WEF is that we are sitting at 104 out of 144 countries surveyed in terms of affordability of ICT services and so on. And this has gone down. Last year we were at number 95, we are now at 104. So there's a need for some kind of agency in addressing issues of cost to communicate in South Africa. And these issues are also mirrored by the general, the household surveys and the census that was done by STEPSA when they looked at ICT access gap. So What is coming out is that there's an ICT access gap in so far as people sitting in urban areas versus those in non-urban areas. So the more you are living or in an urban area, the better chances of you having access to ICT services or accessing the internet, having a smartphone, having a tablet and all of that. So you've got that urban and urban dichotomic problem divide. You also have a divide by income, right? So the statistics, as I just showed, that the higher the income you have, the better chances of you accessing ICT services is concerned. And the higher the levels of educational attainment, the higher the chances of you having access to ICT services. And also there's also a gender gap. The statistics, they show that men and women access ICT services differently, or men have got a better, they access services, ICT services better than women do. And that even when we have access to smartphones, for example, it is more likely that men will use it for productive means, using the ICT to do business and so on and so forth, than women, than females. So we need to be addressing these aspects from a digital opportunity point of view, or from a building an inclusive information society is concerned. So our interventions in the NHI pilot, in the NHI science, would be to focus in the main, and we've gone through to, in the past 6 weeks, we've met with all the district municipalities, is that we need to intervene in the ICT skills development space, and also on enterprise development, making sure that ICT SMEs are taking advantage of exploiting the opportunities that come with ICT. So we're going to be working with NEMISA to tailor-made the interventions, and working with the sector as well, to tailor-made the customized sector interventions in this NHI or the district municipalities, at least in year one, to deal with issues of ICT skills development, as well as ensuring that SMEs are capacitated in the use of ICTs.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, DG. Honorable Chair and honorable members, I'll deal with the issue of the filling in of vacancies. I think it's a question that was asked by Honorable Singh. I must indicate to the committee that the vacancy rate in the department is currently sitting at 11.5%. That is combining both the non-SMS as well as the SMS members. There is, or there are processes currently in place to fill in these vacancies. If I can just perhaps talk to the SMS level, there's about 10 positions that are currently in the process of being filled out of a total of 15. And there's also about few positions at the non-SMS level that are also being that are currently going through various recruitment stages. The projection is that given the allocation of 191 million for compensation, is that by second quarter we should have been able to fill in all the vacancies in the department. Of course, there will be resignations and terminations there and there, but the department has taken a deliberate decision that no vacancy will be allowed to be lying idle for a period exceeding 6 months in compliance with the regulations. So we are adhering to those regulations to make sure that all these vacancies are being filled. So I can say that safely to the committee that I think for the first time in many years that the department has managed to reduce its vacancy rate. Yes, 11.5% is still concerning. However, by the second quarter, I think we can be able to come back to the committee and indicate that those vacancies would have been eradicated. Thank you, Chair.
Just a question about whether the mobile operators are complying with the regulations set by ICASA on the reduction of prices. Honorable Chair, these we can confirm that the regulation is very clear. The industry has sufficient experience to comply with it because there is experience starting from 2010. And we have also seen the correlation on the reduction of prices at the retail level, so the prices that people pay ordinarily. We do have concerns with the
packages wherein, for instance, prepaid packages are still very a little bit high. We are concerned about that. We monitor that. We are also concerned about the complex display of these packages, such that the user does not understand the rate that they pay and the validity of what they have paid for already in advance. This normally happens in bundled services such as data. So you buy something, after 11 days it has expired, you must pay again, and you are not told on your rise about that. So those are the elements. In fact, we have in the plans here a policy to address that issue specifically in the course of the current financial year. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, for this opportunity to respond. I'm going to take the question on retrenchments relating to SAPO and the questions relating to centers about the four areas that are covered by the additional transmitter sites. So we start with the latter. The areas are in Harrismith, Beggars Fort, Holy Cross, and Gwelele. The next question, regarding SAPO, the issue of retention is a challenge for the department and government as a whole, as we know that government doesn't want to retrench. We in fact want to create employment. But the challenge that we have is most of SAPO's business is basically made, and we know that SAPO is experiencing the challenges that SAPO is experiencing now is as a result of the declining the mail volumes. As a result of that, like the DG has said before, one of the key strategies or turnaround for SAPO is for it to diversify its business. So the key part of it, the negotiations have been going on, as you may understand that there were lots of concerns and strikes and so on. But in line with what I've just said, that our intention as government is to change, the negotiations are still continuing at the highest level. And these are anchored on the implementation of a strategic turnaround of SAP. One of the key factors here basically is that SAPO has been sort of it needed a lot of for it to turn around or to keep that main business going, which is declining. We need to get government business whereby SAPO would at least go to a certain level in terms of improving its business if government departments were to assist in terms of giving it main business. However, that we understand, having engaged with the National Treasury, that it requires SAPO to undergo procurement processes, you know, in terms of the PFMA. That is our challenge, of course, because that requires SAPO to be competitive as well and to compete. However, like I said, the strategic turnaround plan and the issues involved there are being addressed at the highest level, involving also the Deputy President's office and cabinet as well, in terms of pushing and engaging other departments to get involved, or other ministers to get involved in bringing some business to SAPO. Yes, but it may not be. It can go a long way towards assisting. However, as we understand that we need to diversify, SAPO needs to diversify into maybe, for instance, the e-business. So that will also affect some of the employees that may not have the skills to deal with that. Meaning then, training will have to take place, things like that. But it is intentional to retrench. Thanks.
Thank
Okay, Michael, let's just respond on what Michael was saying. If you look at the support business, it's made up of mail, retail, courier business, and post bank. Mail and post bank actually are profitable standalone business. The area that is really draining South African post office is retail, which is the biggest employer in terms of, you know, that's your outlet, and then there's the courier. Now, it definitely means that in really looking at the different model, there's just no way you can come up with a different model without looking at the number of employees that then you need as an entity, but also the number of postal outlets. Like, for example, one of the issues that the administration raises are, like, for example, if you look at Centen, you've got about 3 post offices in an area of about 3 kilometers apart, which doesn't make sense. But also you find that the most profitable, which is what they told us, the most profitable post office is in the Eastern Cape. And some of the most loss-making post offices are in Centen, and it's because of rent and all of this. So those are the things that need to be looked at. So we've been on this journey that assumes that it's the ones that are in the rural areas that are not making, which is not necessarily the case. So the information that has been presented to us has then given us different pieces. That's not necessarily the case. Therefore, it means how then moving forward, how then to be dealing with the dynamic. You can't have 3 kilometers apart, and but maybe I think all of them, or if not one, then loss making. So it's about coming up with a different operating model that then looks at the how then do we strengthen mail, how do we strengthen the post bank, but then how do we turn around retail and courier? Like, for example, one of the challenges that they've got within the courier, you've got a number of divisions, and each courier business then has got its own trucks in its own way of doing business. So it's about rationalizing transportation, rationalizing when you pick up, when you don't pick up. So that's the overall, the essence of the general trend of the South African post office. Now, the second question that was raised by Honorable Masango, whether we announced before a certain level of readiness, I think it's a general problem across government. It goes into the whole issue of the capacity of the state to deliver. That's the one. But also, the capacity of the state to deliver is also to do with the capacity of the state to be able to sustain a project that you have to run it over a number of years. And that becomes a bit of a challenge, where one thing that we are good at as government is to start a project. But where we get challenges is sustaining it. And then you coupled with the issue of, you know, changes of critical people in the project, that becomes another issue that we are not good at managing those kind of risks, where if your key stakeholder resigns or what then happens. So those are some of the things that I think are at the heart of assisting the state to say, we need to improve our capacity to deliver as government, so that all these risks, whether a person is there or not, the project must still be able to move. So there's been a reflection in the economic cluster on that, because remember, the economic cluster at the heart of it, you've got us, you've got energy, you've got water, you've got transport, you've got environmental, you've got land. These are the key departments, and that has been a reflection on how then do we do things differently. One of the things that has been introduced in this financial year, post the cabinet report, was that we're going to come up with project plans, and we're going to be reporting monthly. Because this thing of waiting for the next State of the Nation address, come to the next State of the Nation, people are surprised why, you know, you're saying they must report on this. So there's already a system where all of us have submitted monthly project plans, and then we then have to report. But even when we're going through the monthly project plans, people now can realize that now it's catching up with us. Now that we're saying, come up with your project plans, that was then became another process. But when we're coming up with commitments, it was a nice process, everyone has accepted. But now they say, now tell us how you're going to be implementing. That then started becoming a little bit painful. So those are the interventions that we are busy with. I think it spoke to the challenges of the South African Post Office, Honorable Masango, which is mainly retail and the courier business. The next question, I think on the hub, I've spoken to the issue of the hub, that the lead department is definitely SFA. and our work is informed by the SSA. The question on the involvement on members, I think that we are open to the discussion or involvement, but what always tends to be an issue is when now it's time to plan, you find that, you know, the challenges of availability because of, you know, members are also committed in terms of your constituency, your parliamentary program, and all of this. So I think we look at that and see how, if it's feasible to find a way of planning around there. The rollout of IPES, we are definitely working with the Department of Basic Education. The biggest challenge that we have as government is literally the issue of resources. I think if resources were not an issue, we would be able to roll out IPES to every child. But now you've got a discussion where you still, this day and age, you've got schools that are much schools. That becomes a priority for the Department of Basic Education in terms of their resources. It's logic. While an IPED is part of it's a critical issue, but we have to consider a child that is in a school where there's no windows, it's mud schools, there's no clean water. That becomes a priority, unfortunately. Those are the priorities, because the discussions that we always have with National Treasury, they're saying, it's not that we don't like the ICT sector, we don't believe that it's important, but priorities are education, health, issues of security. That becomes a priority. And if money was not an issue, I'm sure we'd then be given sufficient funding. Not that I'm defending them, but these are the realities, unfortunately, when we engage them. I don't know if my colleagues want to come to them. I don't know if there is another observation to pick up.
One question that came from Mr. Mlambo. DJ, I think the other side to it is the security of the networks with regards to national security, as he puts it. And DJ, I think this question, fully we agree with that assertion, Mr. Mbam. When a country invests in its networks, it is also investing in its security. In today's world where modern ways of wars are fought in the cyberspace, you exactly want to ensure that the authenticity of your networks also speaks to cyber security and means of protecting those networks. And we think government's thinking of designating an agency to lead infrastructure deployment brings to bear that particular issue by and large. In fact. So we fully agree with that assertion. Thank you.
There's another large question that I'm going for now before of
over to you, Vicky, for the last question. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Shannon. It's just the issue of the toolkit. I think it's something that's quite a constructive proposal and something we need to take into consideration to give you the full picture of what we refer to as you see, there's all of the policies and strategies obviously have an integrated approach towards delivering on the APB in totality. So what we will make available is perhaps a pack of all the relevant documentation as well as somehow map them together into how they form different pieces of the puzzle in terms of delivering on the broader project. And that's something constructive we will take forward and make available to the committee. Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Members,
DJ, I want to make follow-up on the responses made by Amit. Look, she was very articulate on the issues that he was responding to. But then the question that came to my mind is, it is not you who have sanctioned or commissioned the research, as much as whatever that was actually that came out of different sources of the research. But then the fundamental question is, do you, as a department,
share the same perspectives that have been articulated in those different sources of research. That's point number one. Then point number two, you spoke about the interventions, but then you only gave a classical example of the intervention with regard to the critical engagement with the municipalities on the SMMEs and the customer, all that. But then maybe I missed the point when you talk to the issue of affordability. Because you know I am raising this point. On Workers' Day, I addressed workers on behalf of the party. The Communist Party. This issue of affordability to communicate, because it is a very critical issue which has been there and we seem not to be aggressive enough on it. The issue of access, the issue of skills. Yes, you can say your engagement with the municipalities on the SMME is one part that will improve the access and the skill. But I didn't want to assume that you're going to do that. I wanted you to be explicit on that. The data bundles, my chief. I'm a victim of that. I buy data bundles. I don't like computer. I don't like laptop. I have the basics I have in terms of the ICT, but I don't relish iPads, and I only go to it if I want to check my emails and just write my speeches. It will always expire. I just sent my PA this morning, please, there are critical emails that I must say, go and buy the data bundles. But we hope and assume that you are going to check, to share with us the perspectives in terms of the police. We spoke about the police that needs to change that. I think that's a course of action which we'll appreciate. But then again, there's a tendency in government that we always put things without putting timelines, you know. Now, one thing will be hanging forever on our desk, on our papers. We never get to the conclusion to say, this particular item, we are done with it, we are out, we are focusing on other things. I think if our departments could really improve on such gaps, we can go somewhere. I will never talk again. Thank you.
I have no problem.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable. We'll never talk again.
I forgot. Still have stuff. Dizzy, you spoke about post-bank and mail that are effective and functional and sustainable. That's profitable and sustainable. That's a proper concept. But you're not telling us, you spoke about the turnaround strategy on retail and commerce. You're going to, okay. It will include all of that.
Thank you very much.
It
is now going back to Honorable Khai that indeed we need a day. Yeah. Very, very important. There is a social impact. I'm very much worried about the job loss. I'm not talking history, but the war that we are declaring against poverty, inequality, and unemployment by ensuring that each and every sector, each department, should have a target for creating jobs. In recent days, from corner to corner, yesterday we were dealing with the issue of minerals. Where minerals, okay,
where in the platinum held, there is of course a serious threat of massive job losses. Perhaps, for instance, if we take affluent area where the post office is not doing well compared to the most rural area, the skills accumulated from the people that are working there, the workers there, what are the alternatives? Looking at maybe transferring of these people to other areas, placement of other areas, and engaging the workers, long term, short term, medium term engagement, of coming up with some alternatives. We debating the advantages of the scientific and technological advancement, because the manner in which things historically has been done today, we need the skills of services which from time to time people need to be trained to be at least on par with the new development. There's a question in all the varieties and answers of what others have been saying, but there was a question in that. The other one is that modern walls, I agree with you, are fought within the space, the cyberspace. The capacity to fight within this global cyberspace, where do we get the capacity? As a country, do we develop our own capacity, or the imported capacity, be it knowledge, be it financially, or material, or otherwise? Okay. If indeed you are within that space fighting, who on earth can supply you or can capacitate you in such a way that you'll be able to defeat? So our collaboration in terms of other departments, education, higher education, make sure that the security, to make sure that we develop the capacity that will surpass our counterpart globally. For instance, if today they want to cripple the economy of, they can just stop all the banks. Okay. If you import that capacity to counteract such, maybe let me pause there. And that is something that was, it was not sharply answered, the influence of the Bretton Woods institutions in our Reserve Bank. Okay. Are there some strengths that sometimes will be attached to say, we assist you provided you comply to 1, 2, 3. You dance to our music, is then that you can get the assistance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Now, I just want to welcome the responses, especially to my input I made earlier. I'm excited with this toolkit because it's going to empower us as members. But then on the issue of being invited to workshop, I think it is very important. We must definitely make time. We do have the program for Parliament up to 31st of March next year. So we'll be able to find time
during that period. We had recently we had the constituent period, but there were committees that were meeting here in Parliament during that, because they felt that it was important for them to meet to finalize some of their parliamentary program work. So we can negotiate and see whether we should not sacrifice 2 days out of the constituency work. Because for me it's very important that we should be part of this. Because my worry is that, you know, the budget that we pass must be able to talk to SONA, to the MTS. But my worry is that if the president, the state of the nation address, he says these are the things that will be happening. And then the treasurer said no, doesn't release money so that those issues that have been highlighted by the president can be budgeted for. Now the next SONA, there will be comments even before the SONA that the president will come up with new things. He won't say what happened to the previous SONA. It's because some of these things now have not been budgeted for or implemented. Perhaps the Treasury has shifted, as you were saying, money that have not been spent to other programs. So that, and that exposes the President, you know, that he comes with these promises in the SONA, but the next time he doesn't say a thing about those things he promised. He comes up with new things. So that way we are really actually exposing the President to criticism. So that's why I'm not saying that because we'll be part of it, and then we'll be able to. But this is an issue that I think we could collectively discuss both as the department and the members of parliament. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member Lavis-Kahne.
Thank you, Chief. I apologize for being late, but I hope you received my apology. And if these questions have been answered, I will cover it. Just have to say I will follow up. I just have two questions. I refer to the presentation page 4, where the department talk about the broadband. And then there's a statement made that before the limitations of state resources, there are state entities with duplicate mandates competing in the same space and aggravating the above problems. I just want to know what is the plan of the department, how to handle this, and is there any negotiations and or decisions being taken on how to manage this challenge or risk, if that is it. And if that has been answered, a question and answered, then I will get the information. And then the next one is, and maybe there has been asked because I came in when you were busy with the answers and I read something about the education. Since 2001, for this specific department, and it's been in a different form and it's new now, but education and the ICT risk has always been a priority. And very often the department couldn't deliver on that priority. And one of the answers I heard that from the department side, very often they say, but our priority is to change, or first of all to provide a better structure, like change from the mud schools to normal schools. Now my question is there any negotiations or consultation, and what is the process, and how do you go about as a department? Because it's still education and connectivity in schools is still one of the priorities of this department. Now how do you as a department consult, and what is the process between you and the Department of Basic Education to ensure that this priority and this goal can be met more efficiently and effectively? Because forever this department will fail on this priority, and then why continue with it since 2001, we are in 2015 now, it's 14 years, that this department is not really effectively can deliver on this objective. So why do we have it still as an objective, and or don't we change it? Thank you.
And members, thank you very much for the follow-up questions. Let me just start with the question raised by Honorable Parkes in terms of what is our reflection on this research, whether we share the same perspective. Our view is that we do share the same perspective. We may disagree whether maybe we deserve to be 105 or the ranking. I think that for us, an issue of ranking is about the timely provision of the necessary information. But if you look at what the World Economic Forum uses, and that's the diagram that is used to rank countries, those are the drivers, and then under the ratings, you've got infrastructure, affordability, and skills. And these are things that we're talking about, that we've got challenges, especially infrastructure in rural areas. Skills numbers we're talking about, and affordability. These are the things that impact your readiness as a country with regard to the use of ICT. Now you go into the usage. The two biggest areas that we've got serious challenges as a country is under the individual use and government. Business, we are ranked positively. We're quite high with regard to business. And then there's the issue of the impact, the economic impact in terms of what are you benefiting. And there's rationale why the economic impact is low, because if you look at most of the ICT equipment that we use, we're importing. If everything that we're using, we're actually manufacturing locally, it will then contribute extensively towards the economic impact. But the fact that we are low on individual and government, it takes you into the social impact. So you look at this diagram. So this literally is our program in terms of saying the three and the three contribution to economic and social. That's really a concerted effort. So you can't say then sort out the infrastructure and with the affordability and skills, I'll look at them later. You have to integrate and have an integrated approach. That's literally what we are aiming for. I don't know, Mamis, if you want to add, but I thought let's share the slide, yeah.
Did you say, and just to add slightly, Honorable Sakis is asking the question, do we share the perspectives that we get from the rankings? And it's a very good question, because from our side as a department, we have to become a thought leader when it comes to issues of equities. And we must be seen to be the authoritative voice when it comes to issues of ICT statistics and data, so that we don't get questions, you know, that what is the source of their statistics and so on and so forth. And if we look at the world rankings and how these are being compiled, right, there is a shortcoming from our side, actually, as a country, that we are not collecting the data, analyzing the data, and supplying it to the relevant institutions as government. So that's one aspect that we need to improve, both the supply side indicators, honorable members, as well as the demand side indicators. So, but there is a program that is put together working closely with ICASA on the supply side data side, so that we start complying or providing this information to the ITU and all of those. And from our side, there's a department as well, we have an MOU with FSA, where we've worked with them now on the, we're going to be producing what we call the South African ICT Statistical Compendium, which begins to put the department now at the center of driving and managing ICT data and statistics. We're also collaborating with the FSA to be able to collect much more detailed information around ICTs and its usage with the ICT General Household Surveys. And we are also collaborating with them on the Millennium Development Goals and the satellite account, looking at the ICT component, so that we are beginning to collect that data and supply it to these institutions. At the moment, we've been informed that say, where's the Green Forum, they will phone or they will supply, they will put out questionnaires to like 20 CEOs in South Africa. And based on what they say, that's what South Africa is reflected at. We need to change that narrative. It can't continue to be like that because we believe there's a lot more that we are doing, but we must report accurately and on time so that there's reliability in terms of that. But it is a good question that you've asked, Honorable Parties, but we're trying to address that. So it's something that we're incubating. We will grow organically. Because we also don't have like a big staff complement to work on issues of statistics and so on, but we are collaborating with SSC to provide us with additional technical capacity to be able to do this much more regularly. Thank you.
No, see, I thought that was a input which we have explained. There's just this question about the influence of the team with this, which is quite threatening on our part, because we're not quite competent to respond, because you see, the Reserve Bank is working within the framework set in the Banks Act. That policy framework is set by National Treasury. Our interaction with them insofar as the post bank process is concerned is to do with, in fact, so our observation is that there is a gap with regards to regulation of the bank of special type that the post bank should be or is set to be. And without that policy framework set by National Treasury, therefore the Reserve Bank is unable to set, you know, different types of regulation which are suitable, Honorable Parties, for post bank. This is the view that we share in the department, and this was supposed to have happened a while ago through an act that deals with that specific issue. So we are unable to be emphatic on whether there is an ulterior influence within the bank by either IMF or whoever else with respect to that. And I think I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much, DDG. There was a question raised also by Honorable Sofako on the capacity of us to fight these challenges, the global space. I think it varies depending on the sector. Like, for example, if you look at the South African banking sector, we're quite modernized and we're quite good with regard to the fighting of cyber security. And so for me, it varies on different sectors. The sectors that I think are well on board, but there are areas where we really need to deal with to take ourselves up. Like, for example, on the government and individuals, that's an area that we need to strengthen. Like, for example, when a person is online interacting, you know, everyone should be empowered. As a user, you should be empowered to know that this is how I should interact, this is how I should manage my information and all of that. So some of the interventions that we are busy with, it's really aimed at capacity now. So, like, for example, if one reflects that when we started on the cyber security policy framework basis, now there's been good progress within government. Now it's no longer a discussion or debate. The appreciation is there. It's about getting the work done. It's about now finding resources or reassigning resources. So, of course, you know, it's not something that we believe that we can achieve overnight, but it's a process. But we believe that there's definitely been good progress. With regard to the SOC rationalization, definitely there is a decision on the table that we must rationalize SOCs with duplicate mandate, because the challenge that we have is that provinces will express a view that today so-and-so comes and this is what they want to do. Another one comes in something similar. So it's duplication of efforts and fighting for mandates. And as a result, it takes us longer to do things that we could have done them in a shorter space of time. So the argument and the rationale is that we definitely need to rationalize our entities where they've got duplicate mandates.
with regard to the Department of Education, if you look at the number of schools with access to ICTs, that is 2001 than now, there's definitely been very good progress. I think the issue that we are dealing with, and that's the discussions that we've had with the Department of Basic Education, is because there's no new money, what we need is to find a way where we do a transition, because you cannot maintain the traditional way of offering knowledge while at the same time you've got this massive boom on ICTs. And those are the discussions that we already had with education. So they need to help us to find a way where you migrate, where in certain instances you don't necessarily need to provide a textbook, but could be a matter of you photocopy a page and all of that, so that you can transfer resources to the ICT. But we believe that Department of Basic Education is busy with that process. But also, there's a good appreciation from all schools in terms of the use of ICTs. The fact that certain schools don't have, not because of the lack of appreciation. I think now we're in a phase where it's about resources. If schools had resources within their own budget, definitely I don't doubt that they will do it. They will definitely do it. So it's really it's a matter of how then do we support them to move forward. The last question, I think Temba spoke to the issue of the influence, the capacity we dealt with it, and then the social impact. I think that Honorable Pakis covers it there. The child, Honorable Pakis, I'm not sure if I fully understood your question. I think we're talking about SAPO, then you said the shareholding. I'm being honest, I didn't fully understand the question.
Can you just...
Oh, you mean all the entities that we have as a department? Oh, okay. Yes, I can answer the shareholding. CITA is 100% government. Centec is 100% government. BBI is 74% government, 26% IDC. Which one is it? Limita is 100% government. GISAFA is 100% government. And SAPIA. And then I think Telkom is 38.9. And then 38.9, roughly 39. Then if you add the PIC, us and the PIC is 51%.
Thank you. I think we cover all the questions. Yeah, thank you. But thank you very much for the answer. I think it was very good. Thank you for your time. And thank you for the answer, really. I think we are very pleased with the answer. And there's no outstanding issues that you need to reply on. Thank you very much. Yeah, it is for the crew to play. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, DJ. There is through the post office. Listen, there is something to eat. You can put it outside already. The committee is going to stay behind to adopt the house before them for the adoption of the minute.
Thank you very much. I just want to share a joke, and I won't say which minister said the joke about the post office when we're dealing with the salaries, that maybe we should pay the salary to the post office. It's a joke. It's a joke. But, but can I humbly thank Honorable Shepherdson and the members. Thank you very much. I think one always looks forward to the presentation. I do acknowledge that the way we present the presentation, I don't think we, as a department, have matured enough to understand the expectation of the committee. I want to acknowledge that weakness, that it's something that we definitely need to improve and note that we are not, this is not a national assembly presentation. And that is a weakness of us. Yes, I think let's just accept that and say that you've got this presentation there, here it must be a different presentation.
Because at the end of the day we have to support.
The guy who cares is always Yes, please, I read the end of what I said.